Good morning, everyone. The passage that Mozart read before is one of my favorite pieces of scripture. Is there anyone else here that can say it's one of your favorites? Burning Bush. It's one of my favorites, and I've never been able to preach on it before. So today I get to preach on it, which is awesome. But more than that, I believe this is a word to be received. But we'll see how we go. I believe this is a word to be received this morning. So I want to ask you to do something a little bit different as we begin. I want you to close your eyes. And if you want to receive from the word today, from the Lord, just put your hands open in front of you. Lord, your word says that your word will never return void, but it will set out to accomplish what you want it to do. So for all of those with arms, with hands open, ready to receive, would you give us your revelation today? Would you reveal yourself to us today? And would you give us what you have for us today? We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So a question I have for you is this. When is the last time you had a burning bush encounter with the Lord? When did you last meet with him and experience something of his divine, wonderful presence in your life? When did he last correct you, challenge you, direct you, transform you? Or are you due an encounter like this in your life today? Now, I guess if I asked people to put up their hands, we'd probably have a few hands that would go up right now. Mine as well. Here's what I want to say at the outset of this message. We need burning bush encounters in our lives to purify us and bring us closer to Christ. Our faith is meant to be active. We have a God who moves, a God who lives, a God who speaks to us. We all need to have these encounters. For me, I often hear God's voice when I'm out running or walking. There's something about being outside, disconnected from the world, just me and him, and I'm open to what he might want to say to me. And the last fresh word I heard was this: Matt, don't shortcut the growth process. Let perseverance do its work in you. Now let me be clear, this is not what I wanted to hear from God. I wanted him to say, don't worry, you'll be out of the situation soon and all will be well, my son. Instead he said, you're in it, Matt, and it's going to be painful, but guess what? I'm in it with you. I think that's where we find Moses in our reading today. But before we dive into it and what it means for us, let me quickly set the scene for our series, where we've been and where we're up to. We're in week 3 of our series going through the book of Exodus, the story of God's people under the leadership of Moses. In Exodus, God's people are in exile, but they are poised for revival, which is what I've called our series and is where I see the church today. We as God's people are in exile. That's not really good news, is it? But we are poised for revival. I believe it with all my heart. And I believe it is happening around the world today. People are waking up to the gospel message, the transformation that comes from encountering the risen Christ in our daily lives. It's an exciting time to be a follower of Jesus. Anyone? Yeah, it's exciting to be alive and be a follower of his. But if we're honest, it's also a bit daunting and a bit scary as well. There is so much anxiety, stress, confusion, and hatred in this world. And as followers of Jesus, we are not immune from these things. It's a struggle for us as well. Yet we have hope, don't we? A living hope. Jesus Christ is our Lord, Savior, and guide in and through life. Well, the central claim for our series is this. If you want to understand and appreciate Jesus, then you need to understand and appreciate Exodus. Why? Because Exodus reveals Jesus to us. In Exodus, there are two journeys that God's people go through. The first is getting the Israelites out of Egypt, the place of their slavery. And the second journey, which is much harder, is getting Egypt out of the Israelites, the impact of their slavery. Reading through Exodus, we see that God is pitted against an enemy known as the Pharaoh of Egypt, an insecure and inhumane dictator who tried to wipe out God's people by wiping out every Hebrew boy that was born. Fortunately, God intervened in this and many boys' lives were saved. One such boy was Moses, our central character. His mother placed him in a basket on the Nile River and Pharaoh's own daughter picked him up and raised him as her own. Does that sound okay? Yeah, okay, cool. It's just weird from up here. I can hear it vibrating a bit. But that's okay. Okay, clear and ready to go. Moses had some sort of identity crisis, as we saw a few weeks back, and he ended up killing an Egyptian slave driver who was hurting one of the Israelite people. Moses thought he was in the clear, as no one saw when he glanced around. But it turned out that someone did see, didn't they? And they ended up questioning him when he tried to break up a fight between two Hebrew men. Moses was caught, and he panicked. He knew he was in trouble and that the Pharaoh was going to come and find him and punish him. So he flees to the desert. He goes into the wilderness, a place called Midian. There he confronts another form of injustice, and the outcome is that he ends up with a wife called Zipporah and a son whose name is Gershom. Meanwhile, the Israelite people are still stuck in their slavery, and they cry out to God to save them. Friends, they are desperate in this situation. And at the end of chapter 2, we read these hopeful and these comforting words. God looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them. Or as one pastor says, injustice makes a sound that God hears. It's pretty deep, isn't it? And that brings us to Moses and his burning bush encounter. This morning we're going to see the following. Moses was busy with his everyday life when God spoke to him. Moses was unhurried when he realized God was speaking to him. Moses was sensitive to God's leading in the conversation. And Moses was helped by God with his questions, fears, and doubts. So the first thing I want you to see in this interaction is that Moses was busy with his everyday life when God spoke to him. See, quite a bit of time has passed for Moses. Moses was 40 years old when he fled to the desert to get away from Pharaoh. Most scholars agree that he is now 80 years old when God speaks to him from the burning bush. That's 40 years. That's the entirety of my life so far. It's true. It's my whole life. For Moses, as one biblical commentator wrote, it's 40 years of insignificance, languishing. Don't you love that word? Languishing in the wasteland. But as is so often the case, God does some of his best work in the wilderness. So what's he been doing during these 40 years? Well, he's been a husband and a father and a shepherd, and that takes time, doesn't it? But he's been looking after his father-in-law's sheep. God has been preparing him, probably slowing him down, working on his character issues, getting him ready for the next season in his life, and the next season in his leadership. So let's stop and ask this question now. What season of life are you in? Some of us are in the prime of our lives. We are busy working away at our careers or studies. We're mixing with lots of people. We've got plenty of friends and contacts. God is in the midst of our everyday lives. Yet sometimes we notice him, and sometimes we don't. Some of us are nearer to the middle of our lives. We're not working as hard, or we've stopped working now. We're working out what's important in our lives and what our purpose is now. God is important to us, and we're closer to him than we were in our 40s or 50s. Yet sometimes we hear him clearly, and sometimes we struggle. Some of us are in a season of life where we're giving back to others, but we're also a bit tired. We're a bit weary. We've seen and done a lot. We've achieved some things. We've learned a lot in our lives. We've lived a pretty full life. God is close to us, and we sense his nearness in a way that we hadn't when we were younger. His voice and his presence is such a comfort to us. And I know for many of you who are going through suffering and going through trials, God's voice and God's presence is your comfort. Well, friends, in whichever season we find ourselves in, my hope and prayer is that we will find God is sufficient for us, that he will meet all our needs through Christ. That as we go about our everyday lives and make room for him, We will intentionally try to connect with him, to abide in him, to hear his voice spoken personally to us. Moses has been in a season of preparation and the ordinariness of life, but he's on Horeb, which is also known as the mountain of God. And while tending his father-in-law's sheep, he notices something out of the ordinary. There's a bush on fire, but it's not burning up. Anyone ever seen a bush on fire that's not burning up? No, I didn't think anyone. Otherwise, I'd get you to come up and tell us about it. But he does what anyone would do. He goes to investigate this strange sight. And look at verse 4. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, "Moses, Moses." The Lord sees Moses and calls him by his name, Moses. Imagine being Moses at this moment. You're investigating the strange sight of a burning bush that does not burn up. And then all of a sudden, from within that bush, you hear your own name being called. Can you just stop and imagine what that would be like? I don't know about you, but I'd be pretty scared. I'd be pretty scared. How does this voice know my name? Who is this? What does it want? Well, Moses' simple reply is this. Here I am. Here I am, burning bush. Here I am. It's probably a bit too calm for most of us, right? If we were in that situation. But God continues, "Do not come any closer. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." This place was Horeb, remember? The mountain of God. And here is God revealing himself to Moses. Moses still might not know who is exactly calling him, though. So let's look at what the Lord says in verse 6. "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." We know these as the patriarchs of Israel, and anyone in the Hebrew world would have recognized and been familiar with the names Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Moses knew them because his response is to hide his face. Why? Because he was afraid to look at God. Mere mortals could not look at God and live because he is holy and they are not. We are not. Moses realizes this. He knows himself and his sin. If this is the God of his ancestors, the God who led his people from the days of Abraham, Moses knows that he is not worthy to be in his presence nor dare look at him. And he doesn't want to die, so he hides his face. Good move, Moses. But he must be interested at this point, right? You'd have to be interested, wouldn't you, Moses? You'd have to be interested. God, what do you want from me? What are you trying to reveal to me? What do you want me to know or to do? Moses stays exactly where he is. And here's the second thing I want you to see in this interaction. Moses was unhurried when he realized God was speaking to him. He slowed down. He waited. He listened. In the Western world, we suffer from hurry disease, don't we? We always want to get to the next thing, and we miss out on what's happening right in front of us. Well, let's look at what God reveals to Moses in verses 7 to 10. The Lord said, "I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of all the Ites. And now the cry of Israel, the Israelites, has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh." Yep, the one you tried to get away from. "I'm sending you to him to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." God is very specific with Moses, isn't he? Do you want him to be as specific with you, John? Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's revealing intimate details to him. He has seen the misery of his people. He has heard their cries and is concerned about their suffering. Reminds me of Cain and Abel when the Lord says he's heard Abel from the ground. He's heard him. Well, he has come down to rescue them and bring them to a good and spacious land. This is the promised land that we hear about in Scripture. And by the way, Moses, I'm sending you back into Egypt where you've come from, to the Pharaoh, to bring my people out of there. It's no pressure, right? Remember, Moses has been in hiding. He's purposely left Egypt and fled to the wilderness, to the desert, to isolation, to get away. And now God wants to send him back. God's certainly got a pretty good sense of humor, doesn't he? He'd be a great one for a stand-up comedian. Moses listens and he responds to God's calling on his life. Who am I? Who am I? I don't have what it takes, God, that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt. You've got the wrong man, God. I'm just looking after the sheep out here, raising my family, not looking for too much drama or adventure. I wonder if you can hear the identity crisis coming through Moses again at this point. He knows what he's done, what he's capable of when he sees injustice. He sincerely believes that he is the wrong person for the job. But God, as he often does, persists. He says, I will be with you. And this is the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. My presence will be with you, Moses. I'll be with you. And where you're standing is where I want you to bring my people to. Moses still isn't convinced, though, and in his response, you can sense just a little bit of sarcasm in his voice. He says, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? Seems to me that Moses is looking for a bit of a loophole here. He's looking for a way out from what God is calling him to do. He's stretching. Perhaps you can relate to this in your life as well when God asks you to do something for him. Send someone else, Lord. Get someone else to talk to that person. Find another person to be your witness. There have been times in my life when I've wanted God to use somebody else or find someone more suitable. For example, I remember when I first went into church ministry. I just finished at Carey Baptist College and Roxy and I started attending Otemoto Baptist Church in Tauranga. The role of youth pastor there became available, and after praying about it and seeking guidance, both Roxy and I thought that it was the right role to apply for. After the process, I was called to be the youth pastor, and I accepted the position. I still remember, though, after that, there was a moment just before I was due to start, where Roxy and I were sitting on our couch at home, and I just felt completely inadequate to do the role. I was completely undone, and I thought, what do I have to offer young people? How can they relate to me and vice versa? Surely there is someone better suited for this role, God. Maybe I should just stop before this actually starts. Eventually, God reminded me that the calling was about the people. It wasn't about me. He had called me into this role in this season of our lives that he would be with me and that this was about the young people. Did I care about them? Absolutely. Did I want them to thrive in Christ? You bet. Did I love them and would I do everything in my power to show them that I love them and more importantly, that God loves them? Without a doubt. Well, after that start, we enjoyed 7.5 years ministry with the young people at Otemoto. The kids who had started out as year nines when I had begun were now leaders in that youth community and God was working wonders in their lives. And that youth community is still strong today, which is just wonderful to see. Now, I have no doubt that if I had stepped aside and let someone else do the work, the group connections and the growth would have still happened. God would have still worked in these young people's lives. He didn't need me, but he had called me, and he did equip me with what I needed for that role, and he reminded me that it was about the people. It's about them, man. It's not about you. This is what God is saying to Moses. It's not about you. It's about the people. And more than that, it's about my people. You want to know who I am? I'll tell you. I am who I am. Tell the Israelites, I am has sent me to you. I am who I am. I will be who I will be. The great I am. Just reflect on those words for a little bit. I am who I am. God purposely revealed himself to Moses in that way. Here's the third thing I want you to see in this interaction. Moses was sensitive to God's leading in the conversation. He was open to what God was saying. He doubted himself, but he was sensitive to God's leading. He was open to the things of God. If we look at ourselves and this church, are we open to the things of God? Are we open to the leading of the Holy Spirit? Are we sensitive to what God is saying to us, what he is calling us to do, and who he is asking us to go and be Jesus to? Are we able to point people to Jesus in our lives through the way we live? Are we a city on a hill, a light on a hilltop, dependent on the Holy Spirit to shine his light through us? Friends, here's a sobering question to ask ourselves. If Milford Baptist Church was to disappear tomorrow, would the community around us notice? Would it impact them? You don't need to answer that question, but it's worth reflecting on. Sensitivity to God means that we take the focus off us, put it on him, and ask him to direct and guide us. It's taking our hands off the steering wheel and saying, you take control of the vehicle. You take control of our lives. You lead this church, Jesus. Remember where the Israelites are when God is having this conversation with Moses. They are in slavery. His people are suffering while he is revealing himself to Moses. Things have not gotten any better for them since Moses left Egypt, and they are powerless to do anything about their circumstances. But not God. He is all powerful. He is all loving, and he wants to rescue them. He wants to bring them out of their exile and into the land that he has prepared for them. He needs a leader from them, someone not caught up in themselves, but someone who will humbly and firmly lead them out of their slavery into this land that is flowing with milk and honey. And Moses is this man. He is sensitive to God's leading, yet he is doubting of his abilities. God can and does still use us in our doubts. He is looking for open hands and an open heart, ready to receive what he has for you. These are the people, the community, the type of church that he can use to bring about revival, a greater awareness and awakening to his spirit in our lives. So ask yourself, are you sensitive to God's leading in your life? How can we become more sensitive and open to what he might want to say to you? Because I want you to hear this. Doubts, fears, and questions are okay for God. He can handle them. He can work in them and he can work through them. He's just looking for willingness, open hands, and an open heart. Because that's the last thing I want you to see in this interaction. Moses was helped by God with his questions, fears, and doubts. God is incredibly patient with Moses, isn't he? He's very patient with him. He doesn't rush him, nor discount his emotions or hang-ups about the calling. He welcomes his questions. He welcomes his doubts, just like he welcomes ours today. We won't read the next chapter due to time, but let me summarize the interaction that continues. Moses asks God, "What if they don't believe me or listen to me or say that the Lord did not appear to you?" And God's response to Moses is that he gives him two miracles to show the people. First, "Throw down your staff, Moses." The staff becomes a snake. God tells Moses, "Pick up the snake by the tail," which he does, and it turns back to his staff again. The second miracle is he tells him to put your hand in your cloak. Now take it out, and it's leprous, white as snow. Put it back in your cloak and take it out again, and now it's clear, just like the rest of your body. But this isn't enough for Moses, because he says, "I'm not a great speaker, Lord. I'm slow of speech and a tongue, and I stutter." God's response, he reminds Moses that it is he who makes a man deaf or mute. It is he who gives him sight or blindness. "I will help you speak and teach you what to say." But it's still not enough for Moses, is it?
And he puts all his cards on the tables, on the table, his questions, doubts, fears, insecurities, identity crisis, and he says, "Oh Lord, please send someone else to do it." Now, if you recall, this is the first time that the Lord gets angry with him. Our God's gentle, but he also means what he says, and he does get angry. And sin is something that makes him incredibly angry. But he says, "What about your brother Aaron? He can speak well. He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if he were your mouth and as if you were God to him." God takes care of all the excuses and all the insecurities that Moses has. He helps him with his fears, his doubts, and his questions. God is on his side, but he wants Moses to trust him and remain focused on him rather than on what he's asking him to do or the circumstances around him or his lack of perceived abilities. That's the big question for Moses. Does he trust God more than anything else? And it's the same question for us. Do we trust God more than anything else? In the big things and in the small things. With our families, with our health, with our employment, with our lives. That wherever and whoever he calls us to, he will equip us and give us what we need. That whatever he calls us to do or to endure, he will be with us and he will be our guide. That when we go through hard times, which we will, his presence is enough for us. Is it enough for us? In this interaction between Moses and God, we've seen these four things. Moses was busy with his everyday life when God spoke to him. Moses was unhurried when he realized God was speaking to him. Moses was sensitive to God's leading in the conversation. And Moses was helped by God with his questions, his fears, and his doubts. I began today's message with a question. When is the last time you had a burning bush encounter with the Lord? Moses was busy yet unhurried, sensitive, and helped by God in this encounter. And in our everyday lives, I want to say that we can have these types of encounters too. That while we are busy with our everyday lives, we can be unhurried when it comes to the things of God. We can be sensitive to his leading, and we will receive the help that we need through him. As we come to close, what does this burning bush encounter reveal about Jesus? Jesus can and does appear to us through strange circumstances. Jesus calls us to trust him with our lives and the calling on them. Jesus can take or handle our doubts, fears, and insecurities. Jesus knows exactly what we need even before we know we need it. Jesus will use whomever he wants for his plans and purposes. And for Jesus, our weakness works best for his strength to be displayed. You know, I marvel at the fact that the Lord chose the 80-year-old version of Moses, not the 40-year-old version of Moses. The 40-year-old version of Moses had a long way to go in his journey and in his character and in his conduct. Because as the older Moses knew, his weakness was a platform for God's strength. As we close, what will the Lord choose you for? What will he choose us for? And what will he choose Milford Baptist Church for? Because I believe that he is choosing us, that he has plans for us. Just like Moses, that there will be things that we doubt we can do. But with God in control and God sovereign, we can do all things through him who gives us a strength that we need. Let's pray. Jesus, you are the same God who revealed yourself to Moses in that burning bush encounter. You are the same God who called him, had a purpose for him, and could handle his weakness, his abilities, his lack of abilities as well. So Lord, my prayer is that we would lead our lives unhurried and sensitive to your leading. That you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear and perceive what's beyond the everyday. I sincerely believe, Lord, that you want to reveal more of yourself to us. And as we want to receive from you, Lord, I pray that you would give us exactly what we need. We thank you, Lord, that this reveals your heart, Jesus, for us. And we ask that you will continue to draw us by name and lead us into all you have for us and this church, your church. We ask this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Loved.